Joshua, we're going to go to Joshua. I have a word for you. You can count this as a prophetic word. And this started happening when me and Danny were praying with you thermostats this morning. And I had gotten up and began to talk to the Lord about wanting a word from him about certain things. And he gave me this, and I began to see something in it that I've shared it with. There were about 14 of us praying today, but I want to share it with all of you, and then I want to take it a little bit further than we did this morning. So Joshua 5:13, I want to talk to you about positioning yourself for the victory. Position yourself for the victory. By the way, if you're wondering what we've done with Who Are You and What'd You Do, it's starting over in February. We thought we would just continue like this as we move through these interesting days, and then we'll get back to that, and you can enjoy each other giving those words. Amen. All right, 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" Okay? So he said, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Good call, huh? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. So I want you to look at the wording in this now. I want you to look at it. Are you on our side or are you on their side? This guy says, neither. I'm on the Lord's side. Okay? And so the question really here should be to Joshua, whose side are you on? Are you on your side and you're against them, or are you just on my side for whatever we want to do? So I just had that question for you tonight. Who's on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? Now, what we see here is that Joshua takes the correction. And he calls himself the servant in this situation. Do you see that? What do you want my servant to do? So it was not about the Lord being on either side. It was about him being on the Lord's side, because this was the plan of God. They're about to go to Jericho. Jericho was the plan of God. And you know, so, you know, to get results, you need to position yourself on his side. The Lord is on your side, church. There's no question about that. You're his baby. The Lord is on your side. But what we need to do is see how we should be positioned. It's not the Lord, I need you to kill so-and-so because I'm tired of them. You need to punish them for the way they treated me. That's being on. You just need to go position yourself on the Lord's side and let the Lord get in there with his power and do what he wants to do. Okay? Now, so Jericho is the first city, you know, when they've crossed over into the promised land. Everybody know that? Remember your Old Testament history here? Now, the Jericho is the tithe. It's the first city, it's the first battle, and everything, every spoil that's won in that battle is going to go to the church. It's going to go to the Levites, okay? So Joshua 6:1, you got it? You're right there? Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Okay? So they knew they were coming. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." Now, the Lord has said, okay, let's go on. "Its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, then you'll do it six times. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. So what happens then? What do? They follow the plan. They're following the plan. Now, here's the scene. They're outside of the wall, and they're on the Lord's side. They're outside of the wall, and they're on the Lord's side, okay? Now, Jericho is, it's a jubilee likened to the end after the judgment of nations. Let me just unpack that a little bit. I'll just slow down on that. Jericho is a type of judgment of the nations, okay? When you look into future things, you know there'll be a judgment of the nations. You know, Jesus said there would be a judgment of the nations. He'll separate the sheep from the goats, okay? So this is a type or a picture of that. Now, who's the goat nation? The ones that don't serve Jehovah God. The ones that are not in the God plan. They're just serving whatever they want to serve and doing whatever they want to do, okay? Yeah, y'all get that. Now, the harvest or the spoils would be a tithe because this is going to be Israel's first victory. So the first victory fruits go to God. Now, verse 18 there, listen to this. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed. Now, that word in the Hebrew, accursed, is devoted or dedicated. What the Lord's trying to tell them is if they touch it, it's curse because it's already devoted. This would have been a good offering word right here. Because you don't mix God's stuff with your stuff. Okay, so if God said the first goes to him, then the first goes to him, and the first went to what we would call the church, because it was actually the Levites. All this treasury that's going to come in from Jericho is going to go to the Levites. That's what's going to happen. Y'all can read that later. I don't have time to go there right now. So it says, but all the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. See that? They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So God's going to take it all and store it up, and then he's going to do what he needs to do with it. Same way he does your tithe. You connect your first fruit to him, and then he connects what he has to you. It's about a covenant thing. You're locking your finances together. Amen. This is real easy for people that have revelation to see. Okay, so the spoils went through the Lord first, and then the blessing would be on the next spoils. Just like it is with you. When you give your 10, then that 90, the next spoils are blessed. Amen. Okay, so now jump ahead for just a moment. You know what happened. There's this guy named Achan, and he steals something. Remember the story? He takes something, he puts it in his tent, and then they caused a problem for the whole camp. And so they all went out to the battle of Ai, or Ai, whatever you want to call it, Ai. They lose that battle. And my one point here is not my main point, but just we had to walk through this, is what one person does sure affects a lot of people, doesn't it? Amen. So anyway, that's what happened. Now, back up to the wall coming down. Okay? Now we're talking about the wall coming down. You get the picture of what's gone on around Jericho. Now, the wall coming down. We'd like to see some walls come down. We would like to see some strongholds come down. We would like to see in our own personal lives maybe some strongholds flattened. We'd like to have some breakthroughs. We feel that way about our country. We feel that way about our personal lives. We feel that way about life around us. We'd like to see some victories. And here's the thing. You need to position yourself for a victory. Now, remember I said Jericho was a place that needed some judgment to come down? Remember that? Okay. So you don't want to be there when that happens. So here's my point. We must be fully outside of what is to be judged.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
outside of what is to be judged. They got Rahab out because she helped, remember? But she had to get, they had to get her out. They got them out. That wall's thick, but that wall's going to come down. But we need to be people that are on the outside of what needs to be judged. Okay. That's the point I want to get to here. So if you're, now look, church, I'm going to add this in here because I want you to always have the right picture. We have authority, and the ecclesia, the church of the living God, we do judge, and we will judge, but we're not to judge people in the perimeters where we are right now in this, the way we are right now. You can judge some things, you can judge some behavior, but you don't judge the person. Okay, you could say that's wrong behavior, and I'm not going to be a part of that wrong behavior. Okay, or but that doesn't mean you don't love the person. Okay, so just let's just keep that straight. I'm talking about something bigger here. I'm talking about strongholds and nations and things that try to get set up, or strongholds that have tried to get set up in your family, around your life, or around this church, or whatever, that are just bigger than one person's little thing. Okay? Amen. An area, whatever it might be. So if you're looking for a victory from God for your situation or your circumstance, when it needs to be fixed, when you know that something needs to be fixed because you know that some people are going to get hurt, you with me? You know that it's going to end up hurting people, so you really want things to get fixed because you don't want it to go that way. We're living that out right now in this nation, okay? So you need to get outside the wall, church. Get your perception right. You need to do what Joshua did. The battle is not mine. I'm helping you with your perception right now. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. But the battle became the Lord's when I took my hands and my thinking off of it. Of how I'm going to try to do, what I'm going to try to do, and only do, he followed the plan. They only did what God said to do. That probably seemed kind of dumb to a lot of people. Just like dipping in that Jordan, that dirty Jordan did to Naaman. Right? What do I want to do that for? We have clean rivers up here. Why would I want to go down to the dirty River Jordan? Same thing here. We're going to do what? We're going to march around in silence? We're not going to say a word? That was probably pretty helpful right there. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we're going to shout. Yet they followed the plan. They heard from the Lord and they followed the plan. So they got their perception right. They recognized who was going to win the battle here. They recognized who was going to win the battle. Okay. Even though it affects you and people you love, you need not be judging or smart mouthing or putting any words out there that literally are producing the same fruit that's on the inside of the wall. Well, I hate how they did me. Well, they did us all wrong. How could they do us all wrong over here on our business or whatever it is? And da 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 da. Well, are you going to be like them? No. See, that doesn't win any battles. True. Well, I hate this and that. I don't want to be a part of that. Well, that's not helping you win any battles. Well, I hate how the Democrats or the Republicans or whatever it is, what they've done, and both of them and all of them and none, none, none. It's not helping you. Prayer helps you. Believe in God. Getting outside, not being in that judgment thing and trying to figure out what you're going to do. But if God tells you what to do, do that. Say that. Work on that. But make sure that you're outside of the wall that's going to fall down. Okay, so What did they do? They saw the situation. They got the plan. The leader got the right attitude, shared it with the people. And with the right approach and a shout, the walls came down. Now, there's something I want you to see about Joshua here. And this is going to help you know how to be outside the wall, okay? Get ready, Danny. I want you to add something to this. Joshua humbled himself before that presence, before the angel of the host, okay? He humbled himself and he followed the plan. So as soon as he had the right picture or the right perception, he got into what I'm going to call the holy plan. Holy means separated. He got into the separated plan, doing what he was going to need to do, what God told him to do, and not what anybody else. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to go in there in Jericho, and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And da-da-da, and they shouldn't have set up that camp over there, and they didn't have any right to set up that city over there. And I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to tell them a thing or two. Get outside the wall, honey. Yeah, but now listen, we can all look straight ahead because every one of us have felt like going and telling somebody off. And you thought things in your mind, you liar, you this, you that, you Jesus, kill him, you know. And all of that is wrong. You've watched the news and say, pick that one off, Lord, you know. But Jesus loves them. You're like, oh, Pastor, no, he couldn't love them all. Yeah, he does. He loved those ones that broke through there today. He loves them. God loves them. Do we love their behavior? No. Now, so he gets the right attitude. Now, he takes his shoes off. This is holy ground. So the realm of glory is now there to win. Okay? He went with God. Now, just before I go into the next phase, I want Danny to come up and tell you something about being in this place of choice. So you have a mic? Come on up here and talk about what you said this morning real quick, and then we'll finish this out. But she said something that just fits really good in right here. Where is it? We can. Oh, well, is that where you wanted to come in? Okay. So just come here with me. Okay. So now we're praying this morning, and in the middle of praying, and this happens to all of us, in the middle of praying, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Rox, I love you. You have a pure heart." And I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, thank you." And I'm like, "Are you sure?" No. The Lord speaks in faith, doesn't he? But Danny's going to explain how you have that pure heart. But I want you to hear this, because that's what happened to Joshua. I mean, think about it. Joshua's there going, "Whose side are you on?" And then he goes, "Whoop, okay." He began to have a heart change. Listen to this, Matthew 5:8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now listen to the Amplified. "Blessed," one of you guys, I think Rachel, one of you guys sent it in the Amplified while we were praying. "Blessed, anticipating God's presence, spiritually mature, are the pure in heart, for with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, they will see God." Take it away.
So we were talking about having a pure heart, and the Holy Ghost really put on me that sometimes people think they don't have a pure heart because of thoughts they have or feelings they have towards something or someone they say or something they've done. And he really placed it on the inside of me that a pure heart is not about what you've done, where you've been, what you said. It's the moment when you will choose to recognize, "I wasn't right when I did that. Help me to fix it. I wasn't right when I said that. Help me to fix it. Lord, I identify that this was not who you wanted me to be. This is not what you've called me to say. But Father, I bring this before you knowing that you will help me to correct it." It's a pure heart when you recognize that that something isn't right with what you've done, and you make a choice that I'm going to look at this and I'm going to go to the Father and try to change it. The only other thing I was going to say on that was, with that, making sure that you aren't lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Making sure that you're not covering it up or hiding it up or pretending like it didn't happen. If it happened, it happened. Bring it to the Lord and get over it. But don't pretend it didn't happen, because that's what's causing that to not be a pure heart, is because you're pretending it didn't. It's like it says in John, mm-hmm. you know, if mm-hmm. you say it didn't happen, then you're saying Jesus is a liar. It happened. It's okay. Apologize to the Lord for it and go on with your life. And that gives you a pure heart.
Amen. Brother Amen. Copeland says, admit it and quit it.
Amen.
And that's the truth, church. And listen, I like what she said about go ahead and be that honest with yourself. Some people can spin what they've done and what they're doing. Now, this is right. And I know this is right. And they'll spin a whole thing around what they're doing when they know good and well it isn't right. They know that there's no integrity in it. They know they're not supposed to be mouthing off like that or making a plan that isn't God or do whatever it is. But you can convince yourself, if you talk to yourself long enough, you can talk yourself into thinking somebody hates you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you can. You can talk yourself into thinking nobody loves you. You can talk yourself into things are going to be horrible or things are going to be good or blah, blah. But the main thing is to get back over there and say, okay, Lord, I am committing this to you. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commit to him
mm-hmm.
until the day, right? He'll keep it until the day. He will keep what you commit to him. So that's good, Danny. So it's, you know, this is, we're not talking about that you've had a perfect record. We're talking about when you mess up, get right back in the right place so that you're in the fellowship and nothing is between you and the Savior. Okay? So let me show you something. It said, they shall see God. When you go and look at that meaning, okay, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. Okay? When you go and look that up in the Greek, it actually says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God the judge. Uh-huh. You know what that means? That means Hesed is about to protect you. They done me wrong, Lord. They done me wrong. They done me wrong. I know that's bad English. Sorry, Ronnie. She's an English teacher. I know it's hard on her ears, but I'm just trying to sing a "They Done Me Wrong" song, I guess. But what's going on here? What's going on here? See, Lord, not just one, and every one of us present have had that, and every one of us feel that way about this country right now. Every one of us. You can mark occasions probably when this has happened in your life. But God says when you're pure in heart, he takes the case on. And he becomes the judge and you leave it alone. He is the judge right now. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, right now, God, the judge of the universe, is on the throne and he will perfect that which concerns the ecclesia, and he will perfect that which concerns me. And listen to me, devil. The devil that has crossed me, do not touch God's anointed, because surely you are going down. And that goes for your cat too. You know why I said that? It's not about Kitty or Kitty Joe over here. Twice, I saw Brother Copeland preaching. I haven't seen it in years. My favorite story, y'all know it, where he's a little kid and he drags his finger across the shuffleboard table. Y'all know what a shuffleboard table is? Well, I know where y'all been. Okay, so they have them in every joint and some restaurants maybe. So he was in a hotel, and he's little, and he goes over there, and he sees all that, you know, you shake the salt out there on it, and he drags his finger through it, And the men that are playing say, boy, get your hands off the table. And so he jumps back, and here comes A.W. That's his daddy. He takes Kenneth and puts him behind his back and says, you got something to say to this boy? You say it to me. Well, we didn't mean anything about it. Well, that's good. No. You know, he just take. So you need to see God as A.W. and you're Kenneth. And so you may have drug your finger across the table there, but you got a God big enough, a parent big enough who wants to take care of you. Yep. And so Kenneth's behind him going, yeah, that goes for your cat too. You know, that's where I got that saying. So then he says he has his arm around him, and they're going up to the hotel room, and A.W.'s smiling, and he opens the door and closes the door, and then he goes, boy, you keep your hands off things. And Kenneth's like, oh. So God will bring you the correction you need. He'll bring you the correction. Yet listen, you're not everybody's judge. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's not what you know. It's not what they'll receive anyway. It's not what they need. It's all going to be about what people will receive. So you might as well not jump in there and try to do something. You might as well use your declarations, your decrees, holding people to the light, hold in love, walk in love, and ask Holy Spirit to minister to you. However you were hurt, ask Holy Spirit to minister to you. Amen. And he will. He'll come through. I had something happen to me. I mean, I was emotionally in pain from rejection. I just felt so hurt and so crossed, and I felt so bad. And I just, you know, Nancy says that when rejection comes and fear comes, there's an influence with it. And so I'm pushing that back and pushing that back and pushing that back and saying, I'm not taking that. I'm all right. But I kept feeling it physically. Have y'all ever had that? Yeah. It almost tries to immobilize you, and you just feel sick, like it's just an awful feeling. And so I laid down in my bed, and I just put my arms around myself, and I said, Holy Spirit, I forgive whoever caused this pain, which is, it's none of y'all's business. I'm not going to bring up history, but I forgive that person in Jesus' name. And I mean, the Holy Spirit came in and wrapped his arms around me, and I just felt the love, and I felt like a little baby and I just went to sleep, and it was gone. So see, if we'll just depend on him, because it's those emotions, it's those feelings that make you want to react. I was mad at 11:30 last night when I saw those things flip upside down. See, Jesse was too. Look at her. And I was like, Jesus! I mean, I just even said something I shouldn't have said. Y'all want to know what it was, don't you? I popped off, and then I went, no, Lord. No, Lord. You still got it no matter which way it goes. You still got it. We're still kingdom people. Maybe we'll just start a series on the kingdoms to make sure you know what you're a citizen of. Amen. So I'm just telling you. I got up this morning. I was trying not to cross that line. I always have help around not crossing that line. Someone actually helps me a lot with that. And but anyway, thank you, Jesus, for that. And then our staff comes in. They're happy and they're helping me with that. I meant that in a good way. You know that, don't you? So I do. I'm grateful for people who will go, now, come on. Right now, come on.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so, I mean, I was walking on the edge a little, yeah. But I made it. I made it. And I started concentrating instead of those numbers. I started concentrating on Jericho, Jesse. Yeah. I started concentrating on Jericho. Look what the Lord just told me now. Get on what God just told me. And then by the time we're praying, he's telling me I have a pure heart. So evidently I made the right choice. And within those couple of hours before we started praying, I started making the right choice, got back on track, and I've just did what the two of us just preached to you. And don't sit up here and look at me all holy like, oh, Pastor, how could you? I've heard every one of your mouth in the coffee shop, so don't. I'm kidding. I really am kidding. So, you know, like Danny said, and she said it in the prayer time today, it doesn't mean that you've done everything perfect. You may have messed up, but you make that choice. And you may have to make several choices over and over again with what we're going through right now in this country. But the battle becomes the Lord when the pure heart comes face to face with him. Because not only is that word about you will see God's face, but what happens here is the Jewish expression, to see the face of one is to be in the presence of anyone. It's a term among the Jewish people, and it means great favor. So when it talks about you will see God, it's telling you, if you see God's face, you've had some favor. And that's what this is saying. You will see favor. So the judge will get on your side, and you're going to have favor.
Amen.
So whatever the situation is, the judge is going to be on your side, and you're going to find favor. Isn't that good? And so you don't have to manipulate things or spend things or cheat to get something right. God's going to get it to you. So the pure heart tonight is turning away from thinking about who you don't think has pure thoughts. Do I need to rewind and say that to you again? If you're sitting here tonight and you hear this and you're thinking, yeah, so-and-so sure needs that. It is you. Because that's what we're talking about. Get outside the wall. You get outside the wall. Well, I hope my wife straightens up after she hears this. No, you get outside the wall. Well, I hope Pastor Roxanne gets outside the wall. I'm out there. Come out here with me. Okay? Well, I hope so-and-so hears this message because they need to. See, no, you're in the wall. And you're judging them. Just move on out and relax. And only do the plan that God tells you to do. Do y'all receive this tonight? Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for blessing us tonight with your face. Because we all make a choice right now to position ourselves for victory. We declare blessed, which means empowered to prosper, is the pure heart. The pure heart is empowered to prosper, and we are empowered to prosper. And Lord, I thank you. I want to pray this. Empowered to prosper, anticipating God's presence, spiritually mature, are the pure in heart, those with integrity and moral courage and godly character, for they will see God the judge and have God's favor. Amen. Yeah.